Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit may speak to each one of us. May you touch our minds and our hearts so that today we can see Jesus again. And we pray in his name. Amen. This morning, I would like to study with you the book of Zechariah. How many remember what's in the book of Zechariah? Has anybody read it? Can I see hands? I know you've read it. Do you remember what's in that book? Not very much. It's one of those books that's hard to understand, to comprehend. A book very much like the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, with lots of symbols, with visions, with oracles, with information of angels dialoguing with Zechariah. And when I was looking at the book of Zechariah, I said, I cannot do this in one sermon. So I'm going to break it down into smaller units. Before, Joe, we get to the book of Malachi, okay? We will get there, I promise. But we're going to look at the book of Zechariah, an important book, a book that reminds us who God is and what he's willing to do. The book of Zechariah was written at the same time or the same year as the book of Haggai. And if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Zechariah chapter 1. And it tells us in verse 1, in the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo. 2 months after Haggai had begun his mission, Zechariah comes into the picture. And both these men do the unthinkable. They motivate God's people to move forward with the construction of the Temple of Jerusalem. Something they had not been doing for 16 years. Two men filled with the Holy Spirit of God come before the people and tell them, we need to continue the work that God has given us to do. And to begin, Zechariah mentions something very important to the people. Verse 2 tells us, the Lord was very angry with your forefathers. Therefore, tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says. A simple message. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Repent from your ways, and I will come back to you. Simple. And God reminded them something that had happened. Do not be like your forefathers, to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Turn from your evil ways and your evil practices. But they would not listen or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. Where are your forefathers now? And the prophets, do they live forever? But did my words and my decrees, which I command my servants, the prophets, overtake your forefathers? And it says that when they heard this, when they heard what God was telling them to return, to repent, it says, then they repented and said, the Lord Almighty has done to us what our ways and practices deserve, just as he determined to do. They recognize, God, you are just. You are fair. You do what is right. And what you want us to do is just that, to do what is right. At this moment, Zechariah tells us that, verse 7, that on the 24th day of the 11th month, the month of Shabbat, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo. This is 3 months later. During the night, I had a vision. And there before me was a man riding a red horse. He was standing among the myrtle trees in a ravine. Behind him were red, brown, and white horses. I asked, "What are these, my lord?" The angel who was talking with me answered, "I will show you what they are." Then the man standing among the myrtle trees explained, "They are the ones the Lord has sent to go throughout the earth." And they reported to the angel of the Lord who was standing among the myrtle trees, "We have gone throughout the earth and found the whole world at rest and in peace." Zechariah receives a vision in the night, and he sees this picture of horses, of a man standing among trees. And then it says it was the angel of the Lord who was standing among the trees. And I asked myself the question, what are these trees? What are these trees that he's standing in the midst of them? Some commentators believe this is God's own people. Does Jesus stand among his people? He stands among his people. And these riders, who are they? Horses were used in battle. Horses were the fastest way of transportation back in Zechariah's time. And these were quick messengers. They were going around the world. And they found that the whole world was at rest and in peace. This continues, verse 12. Then the angel of the Lord said, "Lord Almighty, how long will you withhold mercy from Jerusalem and from the towns of Judah, which you have been angry with these 70 years?" So the Lord spoke kind and comforting words to the angel who talked with me. Then the angel who was speaking to me said, "Proclaim this word. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I am very jealous for Jerusalem and Zion, but I am very angry with the nations that feel secure. I was only a little angry, but they added to the calamity." Once again, the angel gives Zechariah a message. And it does it asking a question that I'm so sure Zechariah was asking himself. Until when? How long must we wait? Have you asked that question? How long, Lord, do we have to continue seeing suffering upon this world? How long, Lord, do your people have to suffer? Didn't you say through the prophet Jeremiah, through the prophet Daniel, that it would only be 70 years? It was in the year 586 that the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. And it was the year 516, 70 years later, when the temple was completed. Does God keep his promise? He keeps his promise. In fact, the name Zechariah, as you heard in the children's story, means the Lord remembers. He remembers his promises. He does not forget. And he looked at what the nations had done and he said, "I am angry with these nations because of what they've done to my people." And verse 16 says, "Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I will return to Jerusalem with mercy. And there my house will be rebuilt. And the measuring line will be stretched out over Jerusalem, declares the Lord Almighty. Proclaim further, this is what the Lord Almighty says. My towns will again overflow with prosperity. And the Lord will again comfort Zion and choose Jerusalem." Why does God choose Jerusalem? We're going to be studying a lot of these kings and people in our Sabbath school lesson. Did they always behave? Did they always do what was right? In fact, I think 99% of the time they didn't do what was right. And maybe 1% of the time they did what was right. But what's so special about Jerusalem? Why is the city mentioned time after time after time? Even Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who persecutes your prophets. And then in the book of Revelation at the end, it mentions this city again, Jerusalem. What's so important about Jerusalem? What happened there? Who came and filled that temple? Who came and died for his people there? I think we know the answer to that. What makes Jerusalem so special is that Jesus came to that city. Jesus lived in that city. Jesus died in that city to give you and to give me life. Amen? Zechariah continues having these very difficult visions. Verse 18, then I looked up and there before me four horns. I asked the angel who was speaking to me, what are these? He answered me, these are the horns that scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Does that sound familiar too? Four horns. Where do we find four horns? What book? Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 8. Four nations that would conquer Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem, that would scatter them abroad. Verse 20, then the Lord showed me four craftsmen, maybe a carpenter, maybe a builder, maybe an architect, and asked, what are these coming to do? He answered, these are the horns that scattered Judah, so that no one could raise his head, but the craftsmen have come to terrify them and throw down these horns of the nations who lifted up their horns against the land of Judah to scatter its people. Have you ever seen a bull when it's mad? How do they charge? With their head up or their head down? Head down, and they charge, charge, charge. But when they're close to their victim, what do? They put their head up and watch out. You want to be far away from those horns because they can go through flesh. They can go through a lot of things. But these horns were destroying God's people. They were keeping God's people's head down where they could not lift it up anymore. They had scattered Judah amongst the nation. Yes. This is what Zechariah was talking about. How long, Lord? How much time do we have to wait until you fulfill your promise? Chapter 2, verse 1. Then I looked up, and there before me was a man with a measuring line in his hand. I asked, where are you going? He answered me, to measure Jerusalem, to find out how wide and how long it is. Then the angel who was speaking to me left, and another angel came to meet him and said to him, run, tell that young man Jerusalem will be a city without walls because of the great number of men and livestock in it. Here we find a man with a measuring line, measuring the city, seeing how wide, how long it is. Some people think it meant he was putting sections, lots for each person, and they would measure these sections. They would say, this is for your family. This is for your family. Jeremiah was told by God, you have to buy property because my people will come back to Jerusalem to live in it. But what's different about the city of Jerusalem? What caught your attention? What caught your eyes? No walls. A city without walls. You might say, what's so important about a city without walls? Look at Los Angeles, San Diego. Do they have walls? No. I'm going to ask you a question. Would you build a house without walls? Would you? Why not? I heard the word protection. Protection from what? outside forces, elements like wind, water, sun. What else do these walls protect us from? Enemies, people, animals, a snake. What else do they protect us from? Nosy people. Nosy people. How about sound, huh? It protects us from all these things. And God is promising here a city without walls. The reason? Because of the great number of men and livestock in it. Verse 5. And I myself, says the Lord, will be a wall of fire around it, and I will be its glory within. That's the message. God is building a city without walls, a city where anybody who believes in him can live in it, a city where he will be that protection. A city where you and I can live. Amen? A beautiful city. But there are some things that need to happen for us to live in this city without walls. And this is the conclusion of chapter 2 and of my sermon. Listen to these three imperatives. Verse 6, come. Come flee from the land of the north, declares the Lord. For I have scattered you to the four winds of heaven, declares the Lord. Come, O Zion, escape, you who live in the daughter of Babylon. For this is what the Lord Almighty says. After he has honored me and has sent me against the nations that have plundered you, for whoever touches you touches the apple of his eye. I will surely raise my hand against them so that their slaves will plunder them. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me. What's the first imperative? Come, come ye out of her, my people. Does it sound familiar? What book of the Bible? Revelation, chapter 14. Come, come ye out of where? Babylon. Wait a second, is that not another city? A great city? A powerful city? A city that if it was sieged, they could survive inside that city for 22 years. They really thought they were untouchable. 22 years without having to step outside those huge walls. Great construction work. Wealthy, not only in material things, but in knowledge. A city that had tried to make itself as great as God himself. Babylon, come out of her confusion, my people, is the message. Come out so that you can live in a city without walls. Amen. The second imperative is in verse 10. This one might not be too hard for some of you. For others, it might be hard. It says, shout and be glad, O daughter of Zion. Shout, be glad. Pastor Sam, if you knew what I'm going through right now, I can't remember the last time I laughed. I can't remember the last time I shouted of joy. It's been terrible. These last years have been hard. And God is saying, shout. Rejoice, but it gives us the reason too. Right there, it says, shout and be glad, O daughter of Zion, for I am coming, and I will live among you. Isn't that good news, brothers and sisters? I am coming, says the Lord, and I will put my tent within you. I will live with you. I will tabernacle with you, is the word that is used there. And it continues saying, many nations, verse 11, will be joined with the Lord in that day and will become my people. I will live among you, and you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Many what? Many nations. If Pastor Jones was here this morning, he would say, a multicultural sermon. Amen? Many nations from all over the world would join together to become part of God's people. And that is good news. Amen? The last imperative is found in verse 13. And this one's a hard one for people who live in North America and in Europe. It says, be still before the Lord. If you knew my schedule, I can't be still. Gotta go, 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 go. And weeks go by like days, and months like weeks, and years like months, and it's go, go, go. But God reminds his people, be still before the Lord, all mankind, because he has roused himself from his holy dwelling. The picture here, a completed temple. The picture here, a completed city. The picture, a God who is both king and priest. The picture of an awesome, loving God who has promised that he will come again. That he will bring this beautiful city, this new Jerusalem, revealed to us also in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, where he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write down these things, these words, for they are trustworthy and true. Amen? Can you see the picture of a city without walls? A city where you and I are invited to be part of that city, invited to be the citizens of that city, and all made possible because of what God has done for us. Amen? Beautiful. A beautiful picture. Be still. I don't know what it's going to be like when he comes back, but I'm sure the whole world will stop. Stop doing whatever it's doing, pursuing whatever it's pursuing, saving whatever it's saving, working in whatever they are working, and they're just going to lift up their eyes and just be still in awe of what God has done. Amen? Amen? Do you want to be part of that city? Amen. I do. I want to be part of that city. May God bless us all. And may we continue to worship him. May we continue to follow his instructions. May we continue to share the good news. Amen.